land of his skill, the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
We are going to be speaking with one of the world's foremost researchers, investigators. Dr. John Coleman, for more than 35 years, has been doing this work. He's a linguist, a historian, a constitutional scholar, but more than that, he is committed to using his skills to bring the truth to as many people as will hear it. He speaks five languages, has lived in 14 countries, is the author of 17 books, including The Committee of 300, in which he names the names of those people who seek to rule the world. He is the publisher of World in Review, and I am honored and privileged to welcome to the show Dr. John Coleman. Dr. Coleman, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you very, very much. I hope I can live up to that wonderful introduction.
So, well, sir, you've definitely earned it, that's for sure.
That's right. I've been doing this for a very, very long time. I'm not, you know, one of those fairly recent arrivals. So I've had a good deal of experience, and all of my books have been very deeply researched, mostly on location. In fact, all of them have been on location. And this morning, I'd like to introduce you to one of my books, which I consider to be a very important one. It's called The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations.
And Dr. Coleman, I'd like to, just before you start, I want to give people a little picture of this, because I want to ask you a question about Tavistock, and then you can fly with it, absolutely.
Okay, that's fine.
In your new book, you make a very bold statement. You said, without Tavistock, there would have been no Bolshevik Revolution, no World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Serbia, and Iraq wars. But for Tavistock, the United States would not be rushing down the road to disillusion and collapse. Now, that's some serious words there. What is the Tavistock Institute that you say has been operating in our midst since the early part of the 20th century? Please tell us.
The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations is an organization that was set up in 1913 in Wellington House. Up to that time, Tavistock had successfully retained its secretive role in shaping the affairs of the United States, its government, and our people. Tavistock began as a propaganda, creating and disseminating organization, where the original organization was put together with the intent of shaping a propaganda center that would break down the stiff public resistance being encountered to the looming war between Britain and Germany. The project was given to the Harmsworth brothers, Lords Rothermere and Lord Northcliffe, and their mandate was to produce an organization capable of manipulating public opinion and directing that manufactured opinion down the desired pathway to support for a declaration of war by Great Britain against Germany. The United States people were dead against it. They had wanted nothing to do with this war, and yet there they found themselves eventually into it. The Harmsworth brothers began in journalism in London by publishing a weekly called Answers to the Correspondence. The innovation was a banner headlined right across the front page in 1898 when they changed the name to the Daily Mirror. They were very successful in the First World War. They brought the Daily Mirror to a large number of troops.
Pardon me, Dr. Coleman. The Daily Mirror, you're talking about the Daily Mirror, the newspaper, the New York paper?
The Daily Mirror,
because I mean, I've actually seen copies of it from the war. That's the same paper. That was the Tavistock Institute.
That's the same paper that was the Tavistock Institute through the Harmsworth brothers, who owned the Daily Mirror. And what they did was they tracked copies free of charge to British soldiers at the front in France. And the stories about life back home, of course, were popular with the troops. And clever editing ensured that the stories were laced with propaganda. So from a somewhat crude beginning, Wellington House grew into an organization that was to change and shape the destiny of Germany, Britain, and more especially, United States.
Now, this sounds very much like mind control in its early stages, in its early phases.
That's exactly what it was. Since then, it's grown into a highly sophisticated organization, able to manipulate and create public opinion through what is commonly termed mass brainwashing. And in 1921, the operation at Wellington House was transferred to the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, which is an organization which has a very, very large building in London. I've actually had managed to go in there and have a look around before I was thrown out, and that's close to everybody, but it's a very, very powerful organization. And they
now, pardon me. Are they officially a private organization, or are they some kind of a public or a semi-public organization?
No.
In other words, you said they threw you out of there. I'm just wondering,
You don't come without an invitation. Of course, I had no hope of getting an invitation. So it is a private company, and of course, they consulted with the British royal family, and they obtained the permission of the inner core of the Committee of 300, the people who call themselves the Olympians, and they wanted to formulate a special strategy of brainwashing. Funding was provided. They got some money from the royal family, the Rothschilds, the Milner Group, that's Lord Alfred Milner, and the Rockefeller Family Trust.
So how far does this organization stretch? You say they're based in London, I guess.
Yes.
But you talk about them having influence all over the world. Now, from the early 20th century, now we're into the 21st century. How far do the tentacles of such an organization stretch today?
Well, they stretch right into the United States to the Council on Foreign Relations. They send the instructions to the Council on Foreign Relations of what they think the U.S. foreign policy should be. And it's even some of its local policies, internal policies.
And do we know who is behind this institute? Do we know who is actually calling the shots?
Some of them I have named in this book, but that's not a complete list. It's very hard to come by. They're not duty-bound to publish a list of who their members are, or their board, or any of their staff are.
Now, you made a statement that Tavistock really is directly responsible for so many wars that we have seen over the last century.
That's right. They have brainwashed the masses by their manipulations into believing that these wars were necessary and proper. I mean, you can take Pearl Harbor, for instance. This was a contrived situation worked out by Tavistock, and Roosevelt carried out those orders. You know that he moved the United States Pacific Fleet from its safe haven in San Diego directly into harm's way in Pearl Harbor, and indirectly invited the Japanese fleet to attack it, and that's exactly what happened. They are specialists in creating a contrived situation. This is what they call their work.
Do you know whether or not this organization has been involved in the painting of terrorism in modern society as such a major boogeyman? Has Tavistock been involved in crafting that?
No, it has not. It has not been engaged in those kind of activities.
So what are we looking at with Tavistock these days, today? I mean, what are these people doing? And does knowing about things like this do us any good? Is there anything we can do when we find out there are these huge corporations or organizations that are pulling our strings, that are essentially trying to rule the world? Is it just intellectual understanding, or does knowing about these give us some kind of ammunition, some kind of course that we can take to either undermine them or somehow counter their effects?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer because we don't know how far their influence goes. But I will say they are definitely not involved in terrorism. If you take the way that they manipulate situations, 1916 was a very, very good example. They manipulated the American people's support in Europe in spite of the fact that the vast majority, including at least 50 U.S. senators, were adamantly opposed to the U.S. getting dragged into what they perceived was essentially a quarrel between Britain and France on the one hand and Germany on the other, largely, by the way, over trade and economics. As we know, all wars are economic in origin. Now, terrorism is totally separate from this issue, totally another matter which has sprung up recently, and I will say that the Tavistock Institute is not involved in any acts of terrorism, to the best of my knowledge and belief.
Now, isn't that, I don't know about acts of terrorism, but wouldn't you think that such an organization would try to use terrorism to further any kind of mass brainwashing, since it seems to be the tool being used today?
No, there's a distinct separation between these two issues, and Tavistock is, in my opinion, for what it's worth, I do not believe they're involved in those kind of activities. They're very good in doing things like inventing words and phrases that are either very beneficial or very derogatory. For instance, when the United States was so adamantly against entering the war, the First World War, they coined the phrase isolationists. And, of course, it was a derogatory description of those Americans who opposed U.S. participation in that war. The use of such words and phrases has proliferated under the expert brainwashing of the social sciences scientists at Tavistock. They employ many, many of the finest social scientists at Tavistock, and they invent words like regime change and collateral damage, and these have become almost part of the English language. Or better yet, I call it Tavistock English.
Interesting term. What is the objective of this organization? What
the
are they trying to do?
The objective is a new world order. Now,
the reason I ask is because, I'm kind of surprised to hear they're not on the bandwagon of the terrorism, though I don't doubt that. It's my understanding that people from Tavistock were actually influential in Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister in the German Third Reich, his developing his methods of manipulating the people. My understanding is that people from Tavistock actually were kind of in his learning curve. Is that so?
Absolutely. They taught everybody then. They actually got their techniques were copied from a guy called Walter Rathenau in Germany. This guy was the finest single propagandist the world has ever known. And Tavistock borrowed extensively from his teachings to craft their own art, to persuade by words and by brainwashing and by the techniques of polling. Don't forget, polling is a Tavistock methodology technique. So-called public opinion is created and manufactured by propaganda. And they did this. The very first thing in America where this came to the fore was in 1916, when Wilson was trying to drag America into the First World War. And they were also responsible for the first time ever getting the president to have a sort of opinion-making advisory body set up to help him run the country. And the very first one of those commissions, thanks to the Tavistock Institute, was called the Creel Commission, C-R-E-E-L Commission.
Thank you so very much for taking the time. I want you folks to know, Dr. Coleman does not just appear on any show, and we are very grateful to have him with us here. If you want to know more about this and his many other books, and I'm going to tell you, if you really want to know the truth, this is the man to find that truth out from. Go to www.coleman300.com, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, coleman300.com. Dr. Coleman, it's such a pleasure to have you here, and I'm so glad that you are still alive. I actually worry about you that with the amount of information you expose, something could happen to you.
Thank you very, very much for your kind offer this morning, for the opportunity to talk with you. I deeply appreciate that, and I hope it's been of some benefit to your listeners.
God bless you in the work you do, Dr. Coleman.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group, Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on the Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.